Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. This particular case is before this court on a refund claim that was filed by the appellant Litton on behalf of the Limited, who purchased a materials handling and conveyance system from Litton. The particular disagreement that we have at issue here today centers on whether or not this material handling and conveyance system was sufficiently attached to the real property to become incorporated into the real property and therefore lose its status as personal property. It's important to keep in mind that the equipment that we have at issue here is machinery and equipment with moving parts. It provides no support to the actual building structure. Appellant in his brief is trying to circumvent this court's limited scope of review by asserting that the BTA failed to apply the proper test. But in reality, if you read his brief, appellant is really dissatisfied with the results of the test and is really challenging the factual determination that was made by the BTA.
How's the property attached to the building?
It's attached by nuts and bolts.
And attached, are the bolts set in concrete? Are they?
No, they're not embedded in concrete. Some of it is hung from the ceiling on hangers, but none of the conveyance system or the attachment is embedded in the concrete.
How's it attached to the columns, the building columns?
I believe some of it is attached to building columns by hangers, but all the attachment is done by nut and bolt.
Now, some of the floor supports some of this, right?
Yes.
How does the equipment come in contact with the floor?
It's attached by nuts and bolts. It has, I don't know if you call them legs or whatever, on the conveyor, and those supports to the conveyor are attached to the floor by nuts and bolts.
You say attached to the floor. Does that mean they're drilled into the floor, or how does that attachment happen?
I would assume that since you have a concrete floor, that it would have to be affixed by drilling into the floor and screwing the nut and bolt into the floor. But I think what's important for the court to look at is that really what appellant is confusing something that is merely affixed to a structure with something that is attached to a structure. I mean, in this case, you can have something that is affixed, like we have equipment here that's affixed by nuts and bolts, but in order to consider whether or not that item has become incorporated into the real property, you also have to look at whether or not there's the sufficiency of attachment, whether there was the intent of the materials to be a permanent fixation attachment to that property. And if you look at the facts of this case that the BTA reviewed, this equipment does not have those attributes. For instance, the record supports that a portion of this equipment was moved from another facility in New Jersey and installed in this new location. There's also discussion in the record about the fact that components can be removed and replaced from the system. That's in the record at page 109. Also, the system can be reconfigured by removing and replacing different parts and components of the system. That's in the record at 110.
We're operating under things for drawers and
That's correct. We are operating under the prior case law. I think it's also important to look at what we have here. And if you look at that line of cases, Thomas Steel Strip and Green Circle Growers, none of those cases found machinery and equipment to be incorporated into real property.
What was involved in King Amusement
Park? King Amusement Park was structural steel, concrete piers, concrete bottoms and sides of concrete foundations, and cue pads for amusement rides. And especially if you look at Thomas Steel Strip, in that case, the court even pointed out that what was at issue regarding the incorporation had no machinery or moving parts. In that case, you're looking at rooms and pits that were added to a facility in order to house equipment. So I think it's important, if you look at this court's case law, this court has never found equipment and machinery to become incorporated into the real property. There's a long line of cases that support that, including the, you know, the ones that you just mentioned, Your Honor, Thomas Steel Strip, Green Circle Growers, King's Entertainment, and PBI Industries. There is one item which the appellant brought up in his reply brief, which I would like to address. Appellant makes the statement that it was undisputed that the system was acquired per construction contract. However, if you look at the evidence and you look at the BTA's decision, that statement is incorrect. There was a purchase agreement which was admitted into the record. The BTA reviewed that contract and in fact found that that contract alone did not establish that the material system and conveyance system had been incorporated into the real property, and that's in the BTA decision at pages 7 and 8. In fact, if you look at the contract, there's no reference in that contract at all about incorporating the system into the building structure. It repeatedly refers to installation, and I think it's important to point out that something can be installed, but just because it's installed or affixed to the real property doesn't mean that it's incorporated into that structure. Also, I think it's important to point out to the court that in the JCPenney case, which is cited in my brief, the taxpayer in that case basically made the same argument, one of the same arguments that Litton is making here, that because the system was integrated into the structure and because the structure was built around the system, that it was incorporated into the real property. That same, argument was made by the taxpayer in JCPenney, and that argument was rejected by the BTA, and that was affirmed by this court. Now, there was one portion of that storage and retrieval system that was an issue in JCPenney that was found to be real property, but that was actually a track, a rail track, that was actually embedded in the concrete, and we do not have anything like that in this case here. I think it's very important that the court stay focused on that there is no, that the evidence doesn't establish that there was an intent for this machinery and equipment to be permanent. And as I stated earlier, that's based on part of the system being moved from a location in New Jersey and reinstalled here. There was testimony that the components could be removed and replaced, that they can be reconfigured. Appellant does make an assertion in his brief that damage would result if any of these items were removed, but I think it's important to point out that what he's really referring to isn't damage to the building structure. He's really talking about the fact that you would have to reconfigure the system and restructure the system. Appellant also overstates the BTA's reliance in their decision, in their discussion about the sales tax exemption for materials handling. I think the BTA did not, that's not the exclusive reliance in their decision. They recognized the fact that the General Assembly, by providing this exception under sales tax, recognized that this type of equipment remains tangible personal property. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a sales tax exemption because it wouldn't be subject to sales tax if it was not tangible personal property. Also, I think it's important to look at the transaction that we have that occurred here. Litton originally considered this to be a sale of tangible personal property. They collected sales tax on the equipment. There wasn't any objection to this until later in time when Limited objected and disagreed to this being a sale of tangible personal property. The appellant also makes a statement about the BTA conditioning the right to the refund on whether or not Litton paid use tax. The BTA didn't condition Litton's right to receive the refund on whether or not use tax had been paid. What that indicates, and it supports the other evidence in the record, is that Litton itself, the fact that Litton collected and remitted sales tax demonstrates that Litton viewed itself as a vendor of the equipment. And that particular fact is inconsistent with Litton's argument that the system was incorporated under a construction contract when there's absolutely no evidence that Litton remitted use tax on the materials that it used in supplying the system. So whether or not Litton paid the use tax doesn't change the evidence in this case, and that wasn't a condition of the BTA's determination. Appellant also raises in their brief some constitutional claims, and I would like to just briefly address those. The appellant claims that the constitutional claims did not arise until after the BTA made their decision because the BTA failed to properly apply the relevant case law. However, I don't believe that the BTA can violate the appellant's due process and equal protection rights. The BTA is not administering the tax law. That is done by the tax commissioner. There was no constitutional issue raised before the board, and that is addressed in my brief. I do outline what was indicated in the appellant's notice of appeal. And if you look at those items, none of those items can be remotely construed as raising any kind of a constitutional argument. So the other issue I would like to address on that is that at this point, the appellant can't assert a constitutional claim. That claim wasn't raised before the BTA, and the BTA did not have an opportunity to gather the evidence for this court to make a determination. On page 22 of my brief, I indicate that at the hearing, appellant's counsel indicated that they were limiting their evidence solely to the construction contract issue. And I also outline the other items that were in the notice of appeal, and as I stated earlier, none of those raise a constitutional issue. Again, I would like to keep the court focused on what we have at issue here. We have machinery and equipment that is affixed by nuts and bolts. It is not incorporated into the real property. It did not lose its identity as a chattel. If you look at the evidence, some of the conveyors are suspended from the ceiling, but you can still readily distinguish the conveyor system from the structure that surrounds it. Other parts of the system are bolted to the floor, but still you can clearly distinguish this conveyance and materials handling system as an item of tangible personal property. With that, I would just remind the court that there is the BTA properly reviewed the evidence and found that the appellant did not establish that this machinery and equipment had lost its identity as tangible personal property and was incorporated. And also just to once again point out that machinery and equipment has never been found by this court to become incorporated into the real property, and that is based on the line of cases that are relevant to this particular case, the Thomas Steel Strip and the King's Entertainment and those other cases. Thank you.
Thank you. This matter will be marked as submitted, and parties will be advised.